Welcome to the Senior Zone,
where we connect older adults with the organizations and resources that serve them.
The Senior Zone's goal?
While working with local and national partners,
aims to educate, empower, enlighten, entertain, and engage older adults with the tools and information to stay healthy, happy, and secure.
Great guests, health tips, upcoming events, and useful information.
So get ready to take notes
and have some fun.
It's now time
for the Senior Zone.
Good morning and welcome to the Senior Zone. This Monday, November 28th, I'm your host, Sean Perry, and I made up my mind this morning, as I do every morning, that today it's a good day to have a good day, and I'm going to live it to the fullest, and so should you. Uniting seniors age 50 and over since 2012, over 4 years now, with tips and directions to senior programs and services, tools and resources, events and advice, the Senior Zone hopes to improve the quality of life for older adults everywhere while also creating new conversations around how we age. Some ask me why I do it. I say because we care. The call number for today's show, it's 240-638-5430. 240-638-5430. Well, coming up shortly, we're going to be discussing rent control legislation that will help you, our seniors, if passed. We're going to talk about that with our guest staff attorney, Mr. Dan Palchik from Legal Counsel for the Elderly. I'm so happy to have them here once every month. Afterwards, I will chat with the CEO of the National Association of the Area Agencies on Aging, a bunch of A's in there, Area Agency on Aging, about how seniors can connect with community aging services. As I do always, we're going to close out the show with birthdays of the week as well as news and announcements. But as I always do on the front end of my show, please allow me to thank our sponsors, those that keep us doing what we love to do here on the Senior Zone. And first up is Seabury Resources on Aging, their Connect a Card program. It's an alternative transportation option which gives D.C. residents a flexible choice for getting to and from medical and personal appointments. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's a subsidized Visa debit card. For more information on that program, call 202-844-3000. That's 202-844-3000. Right at home, they are the leader in the in-home senior care industry. Their trained caregivers provide the best in in-home care for seniors and disabled adults who need some assistance, not all, some, to maintain their independence. So if you're looking for the best in-home care, either for yourself or your loved one, give Right at Home a call. Their number is 301-255-0066. That's 301-255-0066. They are in-house today. They've been with us from nearly the beginning. I'm talking about AARP, Legal Counsel for the Elderly. They provide free legal advice, assistance, and referrals to all district residents who are 60 years of age and older. So whether it's wills, power of attorneys, landlord, tenant disputes, advanced directives, estate planning, and so, so much more, LCE, they are there for you, and they are there for you at no cost, absolutely free. If you need legal assistance, give them a call at 202-434-2120. That's 202-434-2120. Last but certainly not least, and they are old friend as well, the D.C. Office on Aging, under the leadership of Laura Newland and their wonderful staff of folks, they carry out and develop a comprehensive and coordinated system of health, education, employment, and social services for the district's older adults, persons living with disabilities, as well as their caregivers. The D.C. Office on Aging, their number is 202-724-5622. That's 202-724-5622. Before I go to break, folks, get your pen and get your pad ready. You're going to want to write down some information when I have Legal Counsel for the Elderly up next. We'll be right back after the short break with Dan Palchik, staff attorney for LCE, Legal Counsel for the Elderly.
I had money problems for several months and couldn't pay my rent. I explained the situation to my landlord, but he still says he's going to evict me. Is there anything I can do?
I gave out my personal information to someone over the phone who promised to lower my mortgage rate. I wish I hadn't fallen for that trick. Does that mean I'll lose my house?
Sadly, not having the resources for representation is a common reason many seniors are unable to protect themselves. For 40 years, Legal Counsel for the Elderly has been providing free legal services for D.C. seniors who can't afford their own. If you or someone you know is a D.C. resident 60 or older who needs legal help, please visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly. We're here to defend the rights of D.C. seniors because everyone is entitled to lawful benefits and fairness in the justice system. Visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly is a nonprofit charitable affiliate of AARP.
Right at Home is a special kind of company for seniors and others who need care at home. We start with a full assessment of a person's situation. Then we create a customized plan and match up a caregiver.
We take them from disconnected to connected.
Our professionals help with basic tasks like preparing meals or medication monitoring. We provide support and transportation to doctor's visits and social events.
They become involved instead of uninvolved.
We'll take them where they want to go and help them keep doing the things that they enjoy.
With us, care is consistent, not inconsistent.
And every Right at Home caregiver is reliable, trained, and background checked.
So you can go from uncertain to certain.
It's the right care. Right at Home. Call Right at Home at 301-255-0066. We'll set up a free in-home consultation at your convenience. That's 301-255-0066.
An alternative transportation option for Washington, D.C.'s older adults. The Seabury's Connected Card program provides subsidized transportation funds for eligible residents of the District of Columbia through a prepaid Visa debit card. Customers can use the Connected Card to pay for transportation-related expenses, which include but are not limited to taxi services, public transportation fare cards, private transportation services, and intercity bus and rail. Who can apply? D.C. residents age 60 and older. Signing up could not be easier. Contact the Connector Card office at 202-844-3000. That's 202-844-3000. And get your Connector Card now. Good morning. We are back. This is the Senior Zone, and I am your host, Sean Perry. And with me today is first-time visitor to the Senior Zone with Mr. Dan Palchik. He is staff attorney over at Legal Counsel for the Elderly, our good friends from the early beginning, embryonic stages of our evolution here at the Senior Zone. So, Dan, welcome so very much to the Senior Zone.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. And I want to get into what we're going to talk about, which will be, rent control and et cetera. But before we get into that, tell me a little bit about your background and how did you come to be a part of this wonderful organization called LCE?
Absolutely. Well, once again, my name is Dan Palchik and I'm a staff attorney with Legal Counsel for the Elderly. When I was in law school, I actually worked in an immigration law clinic. And I got to represent a client who was going through an asylum issue, and she was tell me about her story, where she came from, how she worked for the UN, and all she really wanted was safe passage into the U.S. And that really inspired me to take on a mission and work with individuals and clients who need assistance. And that's why it brought me to Legal Counsel for the Elderly, because their mission is to empower district seniors, and I want to be there for them as much as I can.
Yeah, I've interviewed, your colleagues, each month for the last 3 or 4 years, and each one of them seems to bring a unique and different, say, passion, an interest for being involved with LCE and wanting to help out, other people. That's the spirit that I've gathered from, LCE, over the years, and you're no different. That's why I wanted to hear your story. So let's just jump right into, we're going to talk about rent control, the bills and amendments that are currently before the D.C. Council. But before we jump into that, if you can, for our listeners, tell us, how does rent control, how does that work in the District of Columbia?
Absolutely. There are a number of units in the District of Columbia that are subject to what's called rent control. Mm-hmm. And what that is, it's the allowable increase. So how high can your rent go up each year? And that number is based off a statistic that is produced by the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. Mm-hmm. And what they use is what's called the Consumer Price Index for Urban Wage Earners and Clerical Workers. Okay. It's a mouthful.
That's CPIW.
That's okay. Absolutely correct. And while it's a mouthful, that number is listed on the Office of Tenant Advocates website. Mm-hmm. So you know what the increase can be. What the law says is that it will be that CPI plus an additional 2%.
Okay.
And that's how it works. Every year, if you're a tenant, you should get a letter from your landlord saying that we're increasing your rent, and it will show that we're going to increase it by the CPI plus 2%.
Yeah. Historically, I know it moves every year, but what is the CPIW? Is it a 10% increase? Is it a 5% plus this other 2% that you talked about?
That's correct. And we're actually fortunate this year because it's at 0%, which is fantastic, except there's that additional 2%. Mm-hmm. So the rent could still go up by an additional 2%.
Okay. So at minimum, each year, 2 years. I mean, 2%.
That's correct.
Gotcha. Well, I understand there are four bills that are before the DC Council. Let's just go through, each one, real quick. The first is the Rental Housing Affordability Stabilization Amendment Act of 2016. How is that bill doing, and how will it help our seniors in the District of Columbia?
Well, what we spoke about earlier is we said at minimum, mm-hmm. it's going to be that 2%.
Right.
This bill says let's eliminate that 2%. And the purpose of that is to keep the affordable unit so that individuals aren't being priced out. Now, one thing I do want to add, currently in the law, if you're 62 and older, you can get an exemption for that 2%, that mm-hmm. waiver of the 2%. But this bill says you don't have to file for that exemption anymore. All district residents who live in these rent-controlled buildings, they will just take that CPI number, which, this year is 0%.
Does this apply across the board, Dan, for no matter, what age you are? If you are a renter, this act applies? Or is this specific to, the elderly, disabled?
This act applies to all renters, but there are different protections for the elderly.
Okay.
And some of those we'll get into with the other bills that we're discussing.
I gotcha.
But the benefit about this bill is what we find is by the time a lot of our residents are 62, they've already been priced out because they've been paying that additional 2% every year. So by the time they can file that exemption, it's almost too late.
Okay. And what makes it too late? Is it a certain number of years that you reach? If it's after 5 years, now it's 10%. If the CPI has been stable at zero or somewhere in that neighborhood?
Well, the CPI moves every year. And in mm-hmm. fact, you can go to the Office of the Tenant Advocate and they have a historical comparison of every year of what the CPI has been. And so you can see some years it's at 0% like this year. Other years it's at, I think a couple years ago, it was at 2%. So now you're looking at 2% plus additional 2. That's a 4% increase. Yeah. So over a long period of time, especially if we want our district residents and our district seniors to remain in their homes, those 50 all the way to 62, that's 12 years of the additional 2% each year. Yeah. So it becomes compounded.
What's your prognostication on this bill passing?
I hope it passes.
Okay.
We're at the very early stages. I just testified to this back in October. So we're at the very early stages, which is why we need our district seniors and our district residents to contact their council members in support of the bill.
Okay. And that's important to know because I want our listeners, if you are listening, and this is important to you if you're a renter, and if you're not a renter, you want to look out for our seniors that are renting, to call your council person, in for thumbs up for this particular, act, correct?
That's correct.
All right. So we got that one. What's the next bill that's before the council?
Sure. The next bill has to do with what's called rent concessions. And the exact name,
it's another long one,
is the Rent Concession and Rent Ceiling Abolition Clarification Amendment Act of 2016.
Yeah. What is that? Rent Concession and Rent Ceiling Abolition Clarification Amendment. That's a long one. We need to break that down to an acronym.
that is another long one.
So what does that one do?
So back in 2006, which was the last time there were major changes to the rent control laws, they got rid of what was called rent ceilings. And a rent ceiling was, for example, if your rent was $500, a landlord could report that he can increase it all the way up to $1,000 and go, and that would be your ceiling. And then you wouldn't do the CPI plus the 2%. He could raise it at any time to that ceiling. Mm-hmm. The DC Council said, that puts people at risk. You don't know when you're going to have this large increase, almost a $500 increase. We should get rid of it. So what happened was they started doing concessions where they'll report your rent being $1,000, but then go to the resident and say, but we're only going to charge you $500. But at any time, they can get rid of that concession. Mm-hmm. What this bill does is says that the terms around those concessions have to be more clear. If it's going to be if it's going to be a concession, there has to be an end date that both the landlord and the tenant are aware of, so you know exactly when the rent is going to or could greatly increase.
Yeah, I can see where that can cause a lot of stress and tension.
Absolutely.
You know, once seen, particularly, you know, once they get over 62 and they're on a fixed income, and that $500, you know, gap or that doubling of rent, you know, would certainly cause a hardship there as well. So let's move on to the next one. Tenant protection. You know, this is about, you know, if a landlord sells his or her building, what's the recourse that a tenant would have there?
So in this scenario, what we've seen has happened is sometimes you'll have a landlord that owns multiple buildings. And under the DC rent control, if a landlord owns multiple buildings, it's subject to rent control. He may transfer some of those buildings, and then one of those buildings may become exempt from rent control. That's known as a small landlord exemption. It's a four-unit or smaller building that's owned by a single landlord. What this bill says is that type of transfer occurs. If you lived in the building 90 days before the transfer, then you will be grandfathered in. So your rent will stay under the rent control laws.
Gotcha.
And this way, it's the same thing. I had a client that faced this very situation where then his rent went from, you know, around $500, $540 to $1,700.
With
the new landlord coming in. That's okay. Exactly right.
Okay. Are there any concessions concessions made for capital improvements for that new landlord, you know, outside of, you know, just, you know, you just can't raise it if you're grandfathered in 90 days before. But if there's capital improvements in that property, can the landlord still, you know, circumvent, you know, this new bill?
Yeah, you know, with some landlords, even without this new bill, there's something called a capital improvement petition or a hardship petition, or there's a number of petitions that can lead you to an exemption of rent control. However, the last bill that we're going to talk about today addresses that very issue in 2 points. So I'll just jump right into it.
Yeah, let's just jump right into it. Mm-hmm. That's called the Elderly and Tenants with Disabilities Protection Amendment. So feel free.
Sure. So I'll answer the first question first, and then we'll kind of go back to the beauty about this bill is that we want to make sure our district seniors are protected. And that's why this bill is important, because it really targets our district seniors. And what says that, if two parts. One, if a landlord wants to file for this exemption, if you are a qualified senior, which is identified as 60% of the American average median income, AMI, then you are still subject to rent control. You don't get the same exemption that the landlord's going to get. In other words, your rent is still going to be controlled. You're not going to get a sudden increase. And that's important because of the fixed income. The other part of this bill is that it adds another economic indicator besides the consumer price index. It adds Social Security cost of living adjustment and says that a renter, the increase will be the lesser of the two. So that if CPI 1 year is 5%
and
COLA is 0%, your rent is going to increase by 0%.
Gotcha.
If it's the flipped, if COLA 1 year is 5% and CPI is 0%.
So you get the best of both.
You get the best of both worlds. That's correct.
Gotcha.
And it really improves and makes sure that our seniors have an opportunity to age in place.
Where can our listeners, our seniors, as well as their caregivers go to find out and know this information, because most folks don't know anything about CPIW, I would suspect, or about COLA. And where would they learn about this, you know, the annual increases?
So I think this is a really strong place to go to. And again, if you have your pen and paper out, mm-hmm. I highly advise that you write this down. You should go to the Office of Tenant Advocate website, and that's at OTA.DC.gov. Okay. And I recommend that for a number of reasons. For one, they have a historical comparison chart showing what the CPI and the COLA have been for the past couple of years. Additionally, they have all the legislations on their website, or they have a link to the DC Council to show what legislation is pending, so you can be informed of the issues and where they are in terms of becoming hopefully law.
Gotcha. That website is OTA, the letter O, the letter T, the letter A, .dc.gov, OTA.dc.gov. I'm sorry, the OTA.dc.gov. Is it a telephone number, Dan? Is it the LCE number? The 202-434-2120?
They can contact that at our hotline. If they want additional information, we'd be happy to provide some.
Okay. I just want them to know, because sometimes they may get a rent increase and not really know where to go, and they're just relying that the landlord has went through that proper exercise and hasn't, you know, further charged them.
That's correct. And if they get a rent increase and they have questions about it, I do recommend that they contact us at 202-434-2120. That's our hotline.
Okay.
I would also recommend that if they don't want to contact us directly, they can contact the DC Department of Housing and Community Development. Mm-hmm. And that way they can get more information from them as well as to if their property is subject to rent control and if that rent increase was appropriate.
Is that where
or not.
They can go if they need to petition, if they want to petition a rent increase?
That is correct.
The DC Housing, what was it again?
DC Department of Housing and Community Development.
Gotcha. Any last remarks, Dan?
Thank you for being here. And if you're passionate about this work, I would advise that you contact your local council member.
We're going to have you back because I want to talk more about this in further detail when we have a little bit more time here on the Senior Zone. But this has been Dan Palchik, a staff attorney over at Legal Counsel for the Elderly. We've been talking about rent control and the bills and amendments that are currently before the DC Council. I strongly suggest that you contact your representative on the DC Council advocating for the passage of these bills. It's serving your best interest. This is Sean Perry of the Senior Zone. We'll be right back after this short break.
Right at Home is a special kind of company for seniors and others who need care at home. We start with a full assessment of a person's situation. Then we create a customized plan and match up a caregiver.
We take them from disconnected to connected.
Our professionals help with basic tasks like preparing meals or medication monitoring. We provide support and transportation to doctor's visits and social events.
They become involved instead of uninvolved.
We'll take them where they want to go and help them keep doing the things that they enjoy.
With us, care is consistent, not inconsistent.
And every Right at Home caregiver is reliable, trained, and background checked.
So you can go from uncertain to certain.
It's the right care. Right at Home. Call Right at Home at 301-255-0066. We'll set up a free in-home consultation at your convenience. That's 301-255-0066.
Good morning. We are back. This is the Senior Zone. I'm your host, Sean Perry. With me today is Ms. Sandy Markwood. She is the CEO of National Association of Area Agencies on Aging. Good morning, Ms. Markwood.
Good morning, Sean. How are you?
I am doing quite well this morning. And you?
Very well. Thank you.
Please allow me to properly further introduce you to our listeners here on the Senior Zone. Again, Ms. Markwood, she's the CEO of the National Association for the Area Agencies on Aging, where she has more than 30 years of experience in the development and delivery of aging, health, human services, housing, and transportation programs in counties and cities across the nation. Prior to coming to the National Association for Area Agencies on Aging, I'm just going to call it N4A. Is that okay with you?
That's a lot easier.
Okay. Prior to coming to N4A in January of 2002, Sandy served as the Deputy Director of County Services at the National Association of Counties, where she took a lead role in research, training, conference planning, program development, technical assistance, and grants management. As CEO, she is responsible for the overall management of N4A. She sets strategic direction for the staff, oversees the implementation of all policy, grassroots, advocacy, membership, and program initiatives, and so much more. But I really want to get into the subject, Sandy, of how we can connect, for those that may not know, how we can connect seniors to community aging services. And as you know, as we sometimes grow older, you know, we find that, you know, we may need a little bit more support. So if there's a senior out there looking for help in his or her community, where should they go first?
Well, Sean, I would say that they should look for their area agency on aging. There are 622 area agencies on aging across the United States, and they're in every single community, and they were created by the Older Americans Act to be able to help older adults and their caregivers find aging services at the community level. So that's the first place that I would go because that's their mission.
So you said, you know, so you mentioned there's over 600, you know, plus, you know, AAAs, as we call them now for brevity's sake. How and where would they find them in their community?
Well, again, they're in every single community, but where they sit, Sean, may be a little bit different depending on what state you're in and what part of the state. Most area agencies on aging are nonprofit agencies, so they are located in the community, but they may have a name that has area agency in it, but they may be called senior services or age options. And about 30% are part of county government. Maryland is, they're all part of county government. Mm-hmm. In Virginia, they're part of counties and also councils of governments and nonprofits. So, and there are about 30% of them that are part of those kinds of councils of government. So they're either located in a county, in a council of governments, or an independent agency. But they're in every single community in the country.
Okay. Okay. So for instance, for those that are within our listening voice, as an example, you know, we have the DC Office on Aging. That would be an equivalent to an area agency on aging, correct?
Right. The DC Office on Aging in Montgomery County, Prince George's County, there are area agencies on aging tied into the local government, as in Fairfax County, Arlington County, Prince William County. So really in the metro DC area, they're primarily tied into the local government. So that makes them easier to find.
Gotcha, gotcha. So let's talk about some of the services that are provided. You know, I'll let you lead the way here. What type of services do AAAs provide?
Well, they provide a whole range of services. Their core services are really probably, and the service that they're most known for is nutrition services. It's often called Meals on Wheels, but it's both meals that can be provided in a group setting, usually at senior centers, and senior centers are very tied into and supported by area agencies on aging, or it could be for older adults who are more homebound, those home delivered, those important home delivered meals. But it's beyond meals. It's also transportation. It could be medical transportation to ensure that an older adult can get to a doctor or coming back from the hospital. Legal services, which I heard the ad right before we got on the air. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's an important service, but it's health and wellness. It could be health promotion programs, caregiver support, home modification. There's a broad range of supportive programs that area agencies provide. Bottom line for area agencies is they want to ensure that older adults can age successfully in their homes and in their communities for as long as possible.
It sounds like the senior zone and area agencies have the same mission. We're just trying to advocate on their behalf. But it sounds like, you know, there's a lot of critical services, you know, that you guys provide and that are certainly needed. What are the most requested services, Sandy?
The most requested services, both from area agencies on aging and also my organization runs the Elder Care Locator, which is a national call-in number where older adults and caregivers call looking for services. And the most requested services, Sean, may be surprising to you. The first is transportation. That is the number one requested service by the Elder Care Locator and then at the local level by our area agencies on aging. The second is home and community-based services, you know, services like those home-delivered meals or maybe personal care or home maintenance. A third is housing, people looking for housing, how to both look at repairing their existing housing, but sometimes looking for alternative housing. And then medical services and supplies and health insurance kind of round out the top five.
Yeah. So why do you think transportation is the number one requested service?
Well, you know, Sean, when you're thinking about it, you know, there is a point in life where all of us may find driving more difficult. Mm-hmm. And for men, they generally drive. Oftentimes, people outlive their driving years by an average of a decade for women and 7 years for men. But people don't necessarily know when they give up those keys what options they have for transportation and mobility in their community. So what what we're looking at from the transportation perspective is how to fill that void, how to help people who can no longer drive and find the transportation options that exist in their community. And those transportation options are critical because once people stop driving, what we find is 65% of them take less or fewer trips to see family, friends, to go to church, and 15% fewer trips to the doctor. So this can have a real dramatic impact not only on their physical health, but also on their mental health and their social engagement. So transportation's huge.
Yeah, yeah, I can certainly see that for sure. I mean, we you know, aging in place is one thing, but that encompasses the total health and being of a person, and part of that is mobility, able to get out to their medical and doctor appointments. Whether we just spoke about pickleball, if they're into pickleball, to get to those sorts of activities and still live, a life with dignity and respect, and able to get out and enjoy the community in which they live. You spoke about home and community-based services, if I recall that correctly as well, mm-hmm. Sandy. Can you outline that a little further? What are those services? What do they look like, tangibly for our audience to really get it and understand it?
Home and community-based services, it covers a broad area, but it's basically being able to provide some services in the home that help an older adult stay there. Sometimes people need chore services. They can no longer mow their lawn, or they need some help in cleaning their gutters. Sometimes it's personal services and more services as people become more frail, or if they just are coming home from the hospital, they may need these services for a short period of time. That could be services around personal grooming, bathing, and the like. Sometimes people need more medical assistance, home health care. And then, those critical meal preparation and or meal delivery services, financial services. There's really a whole range of services and supports that area agencies and through their contracted service providers are prepared to be able to provide older adults to help them be able to remain living successfully in their homes.
Yeah, yeah. Elder care. You mentioned the elder care locator just a short while ago. When folks call in, to that number, by the way, what's the number for that? Is it an 800 number?
It is an 800 number. It's 1-800-677-1116.
800-677-1116. So when folks call in, if you can, share to the extent that you can, what are some of the common questions that they have, and how does the area agencies help them?
Well, when people call into the National Call Center, our goal is to be able to transfer and connect that person to the most applicable social and services and supports at the community level that they need. So if somebody calls in, and sometimes we get calls from across the country, and people are looking for, they may be looking for a ride to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And so what we would do at the National Call Center is find out where they are and then be able to, and we can directly connect them to the service in their community that can help meet their need. So, again, a lot of people call about transportation. And Sean, the sad thing here is that people, the majority of people are calling because they need to get to the doctor right away. So one of the other things that we always advocate is please plan ahead, because sometimes those immediate needs are hard to be able to meet. People are calling because they've got major home repairs that are needed. Some cases they need to finance them. Some cases they're just afraid of who they need to contract with to come in, because there's so many scams out there. And people are fearful of how do they find the right person to make sure that they're going to get those repairs done and get them done at a cost that is reasonable. And sometimes people are just looking because they're confused about their Medicare. Mm-hmm. They got a notice from Medicare, and they just aren't sure exactly what to do with that. So we get a range of questions that come into the Elder Care Locator. Our goal is to help people sort through what their needs are and to get them connected to the right resource to resolve them.
Sure, and I appreciate all that you are doing over at the Area Agency on Aging. And let me just get on my bandwagon for one moment, because, you know, here at the Senior Zone, we have become to an extent a resource for others. We then direct it out to the local, AAAs as well. But if you're listening out there and you need help and a place to start with your particular issue, Elder Care Locator is such a number for you, and they are a vetted and trusted organization. Their number again is 800. That's 800-677-1116. I'm going to repeat that one more time, Sandy. That's 800-677-1116. You can call them for all of your senior related issues. Sandy, we know that seniors cannot just do it alone. We've heard that adage, it takes a village to raise a child, but it also takes a village to care for a senior. What sort of support does the Area Agency on Aging provide for caregivers?
Well, caregivers are critical to ensuring that older adults can remain living successfully at home, Sean. And in saying that, through the Area Agencies on Aging, we operate the National Family Caregiver Support Program through the Administration for Community Living. And in that program, we can help give caregivers education and that critical information about how to meet their caregiver needs. Nobody studied to be a caregiver, and oftentimes you are put into these positions in crisis situations, and you just don't have the information. So through this program, you can get information about caregiving, and you can also get connected to support groups to be able to help you do this very important but often very difficult job, and know that you're not doing it alone. And the third service that can be provided is respite service. Respite's kind of a funny name, but really what it is a service that enables caregivers to get a break from their caregiving duties. Sometimes it may be an hour or a few hours, and in some cases there's the ability to get an overnight respite so that you can get away and recharge your juices to be able to play that important role of being a caregiver to your loved one.
Yeah. Just another question on and you're absolutely right. And we need all of those services, Sandy. And I see them throughout our local community as I travel from, Prince George's to Montgomery to D.C., even Arlington and Alexandria counties, as I go about doing what I do here on the senior zone. And what I see is not all of the agencies are cookie cutter. Each is crafted to serve the needs of their local community. Is that true?
Absolutely. I think that there's a core group of services that are consistent among all of the area agencies, and that's largely because they were formed from the Federal Older Americans Act. And as you said, they've got a 40-year track record of providing those services. Created in 1973, area agencies were 1965 with the Older Americans Act. But then on top of that, the Older Americans Act and area agencies have the ability to be flexible, to meet those critical local needs, which may be different depending on where you live. Certainly the needs of Montgomery County, are different even within the county because of the rural and the broad nature of that county. Same thing with Fairfax County. Arlington and Alexandria may be a little different because they're more urban. So there is that ability to be able to alter services to meet the needs of older adults in the community.
Yeah. By 2030, and I know you know all this sort of stuff, but our listeners may not. By 2030, one in five Americans, that's 20% of our population, or the actual number would be around 70 million or so, will be 65 or older. And that's going to put a challenge on many of our federal entitlement programs, your Social Security, Medicare and Medicaid. What role will AAA have in ensuring that all the services that you mentioned, transportation, home and community-based services, housing, et cetera, what role will you play in ensuring that those services remain in place?
Well, we are advocates, and in saying that, I hope everybody who is listening will become an advocate for older adults and these important programs. And in saying that, I think that the Older Americans Act programs, those programs provided by the area agencies on aging, will need to have support, because other with the entitlement programs, there's a lot of discussion politically about what the future of those programs are going to be. Certainly, we will always advocate that Medicare and Social Security and Medicaid, which pays a great deal for long-term care if somebody is institutionalized and more for home and community-based services as well, that those important critical programs remain in place. And in the Older Americans Act, it requires area agencies on aging, one of the only pieces of legislation, for area agencies to advocate on behalf of older adults. So we will be there advocating for these programs to remain in place and also to grow, because they should grow. As you mentioned about the population increasing, that's going to put more demand on all of these programs to be able to meet the needs of older adults. And we need to ensure that federal, state, and local support is there. But we also need to make sure that older adults themselves prepare adequately for their old age. And that's another role that area agencies play. So we're advocates and supporters of older adults, both at the federal, state, and local level.
Yeah. The one thing I like about area agencies on aging is that you guys, and I don't know if that's the proper grammar, but you guys, you know, from the beginning, you know, were designed to be the eyes and ears, the troops on the ground, with helping our vulnerable older adults live with independence and dignity and respect right in their own homes and communities. And so that's one of the things I just love about, you know, this organization, because you are the troops on the ground. You get to feed that information back upline, you know, to the bean counters, the decision makers, you know, further up the food chain. How would you rate the overall performance and viability, you know, as we prepare for this tsunami of older adults?
Well, Sean, I have to say I've been working in the aging arena for a long time now, more than 20 years. And, you know, at this point, when we're looking at the demographics of the aging population, you know, as you mentioned, you know, 1 in 5 currently over the age of 65, mm-hmm. you know, are soon to be over the age of 65. And in some of the communities around here, that number is even higher. You know, I would have thought that as a society, we would have been further ahead in as far as our investments in supporting aging in place, supporting older adults at the community level. And we're not quite there yet. But then I am always so encouraged by initiatives like Montgomery County jumping into becoming an age-friendly community and a dementia-friendly community in December. Prince George's County signing on to become a dementia-friendly community. Fairfax and Alexandria really looking and doing a lot of work on livable communities for all ages. So, you know, when I look at this across the board from a societal level, I wish we would be further along. But especially when I look locally here in the Metro DC area, I see a lot of progress, and that has been very encouraging.
Yeah, you know, we are certainly setting the standard, or a standard bearer, for many other jurisdictions as I, you know, travel about, you know, more regionally than anything else. I know you travel, you know, from coast to coast there, but Montgomery County, as well as the District of Columbia, you know, and what they're doing on behalf of our local seniors, in my opinion, really is setting the tone and standard for many other jurisdictions around the country. And I applaud them for what they are doing and striving to do. But with the minutes that we have left, Sandy, real quick, for those that may have a grievance or become dissatisfied with their local AAA, where can they go?
Well, for those that are county-based or in the local region, and I forgot to mention when I was applauding the local jurisdictions, D.C. has been playing a very upfront role in promoting aging in the District of Columbia. But I would say that you can always call the Elder Care Locator and to be able to find out, you know, who exactly to call at the local level. Mm-hmm. But in general, I would first call the Area Agency on Aging, ask to speak to the director and make sure that you register your complaint. But then also, if you don't feel like you get the proper response that you're looking for, you know, then take it up a step and you can contact any of the local elected officials in your community. But usually sometimes what we find is when people aren't happy with the response, sometimes they're looking for a service where there's a waiting list and they can't get immediate, they can't get that service immediately. And that's really, you know, unfortunately, because of funding in some jurisdictions, a reality. But usually the Area Agency on Aging will put folks on a waiting list and also look at alternatives. But contact the Area Agency. Let them know that you're not happy. Ask for if there's somebody that you can talk to, the director, for a complaint resolution. If you're still unhappy, then you can take it to another level and call either someone higher within the local government or your local elected official.
Gotcha. One last question for you, Sandy. For those that are, say, under 60, such as those that may have a disability, and maybe even our veterans, does the Area Agencies on Aging provide any services for that population?
I'm so glad you asked that question, Sean, because really the breadth of who Area Agencies are serving have grown over the past 5 to 10 years. Currently, 73% of Area Agencies serve consumers under 60 with a disability or a chronic illness, and they also serve veterans of all ages. So again, if there's a veteran or someone with a disability calling, you know, please call the Eldercare locator or call your Area Agency on Aging, because they may be able to help you access services as well.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. We've been speaking with Ms. Sandy Markwood, CEO of the National Association of Area Agencies on Aging, and how we can further connect you, our seniors, to the community-based services that are being offered right here in your local community. That's what it's all about. Again, Sandy, I want to thank you for your time. Are there any last remarks that you have before I let you go?
Sean, I just want to thank you for what you're doing and having the Senior Zone on the air, because you are being able to help older adults connect to the issues that they care most about and also to their community. So thank you for your work.
Thank you so very much. And we do that, Sandy, just so you know, simply because, as I said in our intro every week, we do this simply because we care. That's the bottom line. There's no other sort of agenda or motive. We care about the older adult population and hope to be a forum of connection and even inspiring possibilities. So that's my little bandwagon there. But again, Sandy, thank you so very much for your time and look forward to having you back on the show.
I'd love to. Take care, Sean. Have a great day.
Hey, Sandy, you take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Here's Jingle Bells by BB and CC Winans. Yes, folks, it is that time of the year when we return, birthdays of the week, as well as news and announcements.
Jingle, jingle. It's a Christmas song.
One horse open sleigh, all the Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Yeah, it's that favorite time of my show where I get to acknowledge, celebrate, recognize, and honor those who have made it yet another year. And first up is my long, long time friend, Miss Patty Hickman. She is 54 on Tuesday, November 29th from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. We go back many years in my Air Force days. So happy birthday to you, Patty, and well worth it, my friend. Mr. Ricardo Sewell, 63 on Tuesday as well, November 29th. From Philadelphia, PA, currently living in Qatar. That's way overseas in the Middle East. Safe travels to you and come on back when you can, my friend. Miss Laverne Gray is 64 on Wednesday, November 30th from Washington, D.C. Happy birthday to you, Miss Gray, and thank you for supporting us on Facebook as well as listening to our show when and where you can. Miss Tamara Newton is 66 on Wednesday as well, November 30th from Northwest, D.C. Happy birthday to you, Miss Newton. Mr. Jeffrey Harris, 79, Thursday, December 1st, from Clarksville, Maryland. Thank you again, Mr. Harris, for supporting us here on the Senior Zone. It is truly appreciated. Miss Mandy Wallace, she is 91. God has blessed her for a long and healthy life. She lives out in Tyson's Corner, and she celebrates her 91st on Thursday, December 1st. Miss Cecilia Garcia is 83. She turns 83 on Friday, December 2nd, from Arlington, Virginia. Happy birthday to you, Miss Garcia, for listening. We got a lot of Virginia supporters this birthday celebration week. Miss Laverne Fitzgerald, 76, on Saturday, December 3rd, from Southeast D.C. Thank you for listening. And this one, I got to give a shout out. This is my baby sister. She is Bernadette Renee Perry, turns 51 on Sunday, December 4th, from Brooklyn, New York. Bitch, I go. And lastly, my friend Daniel Lewis, 63, on Sunday, December 4th as well, from Washington, D.C. Folks, to have your birthday mentioned here on the Senior Zone or any other notable events such as weddings, anniversaries, you name it, turning 100, you can contact us at info@theseniorzone.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at theseniorzone.com. And Senior Zone news and announcements this Thursday, December 1st, from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., Montgomery Hospice, they are presenting their bereavement workshop. They're calling it Winter Blues, Balancing Sorrow and Celebration While Grieving. For anyone grieving the death of a loved one, it's free and open to any Montgomery County resident. The address is Montgomery Hospice, 1355 Pickard Drive in Rockville. Registration is required, no cost, but their number is 301-921-4400. That's 321-921-4400. Adult daycare programs, they are a great alternative for individuals and families looking to avoid a nursing home admission. So if you're looking for a place to send your loved one during the day, or you know, just a way of keeping them from being sent to a nursing home prematurely, contact your local office on aging. If in D.C., that's your office on aging. If in D.C., if you're in Montgomery County or Prince George's County or actually any part of Maryland or Virginia, contact your area agency on aging. We just learned about that, your area agency on aging, to get a referral for that break or solution that you need. Adult daycare programs are great. Folks, I mentioned this for the last several weeks, and it's still not too late. Get your flu shot before it really, really gets you. The CDC recommends that people over 65 especially get their flu vaccinations each year. Why? Because 90% of the flu-related deaths each year are our seniors, and even more are put in the hospital. So do your loved ones and yourself a favor. Get your flu shot and get it
at your earliest convenience. Tuesday, a couple of weeks from now, December 13th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., join the Senior Zone for its Christmas Celebration Midday Gala at the Chesapeake Beach Spa and Resort. We are back down in Chesapeake Beach. I promise you, live entertainment, good food, good dancing, and just good old-fashioned good times. And much, much more. Bring your friends, call your family members, share with your coworkers, tell everybody that you know to meet us down at the newly renovated Chesapeake Beach Spa and Resort at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, December 13th. I promise you, it's a surefire good time, and it's open to the public. For tickets and more information, call 202-351-7053, 202-351-7053. Next up, benefitscheckup.org. This screens for more than 2,000 public and private benefit programs that include help with prescription drugs, heating bills, housing and rent, food, legal services, medical costs, tax relief, in-home services, even veterans benefits. Folks, you got to go to this website. It's benefitscheckup.org. The screenings are confidential and is absolutely free. Go to, again, www.benefitscheckup.org to find out what benefits that you may be eligible to receive. If you live in Maryland and you're looking for information and assistance about long-term services that allow individuals to remain at home and plan for future needs, then the Maryland Access Point, it's your answer. The Maryland Access Point is the gateway for older adults and individuals with disabilities. For more information on the Maryland Access Point, call 844-627-5465, 844-627-5465. This just about wraps it up. To have your event or announcement, again, mentioned here on the Senior Zone, or to share your thoughts about today's show, our future recommendations for future broadcasts, call us at 800-217-1984, 800-217-1984. This show is only as good as our listeners contribute, so I welcome your contributions to the show. Be sure to join us next Monday here on the Senior Zone for another informative show. Until then, please don't change that dial. My dear friend, Dr. Eve Taylor is up next with her show, Discover Your Why, Discover Your Why Radio Show. Until next time, have an intentionally blessed week. We love you.
Be sure to join us on our next broadcast.
Until then,
live simply,
love generously,
care deeply,
speak kindly,
and leave the rest to God. Have a wonderful week, and God willing, the Senior Zone will be here for another informative and entertaining hour next Monday morning at 10 a.m.